or USS Lunar Base 1. Of course, always and forever. USS Lunar Base 1. Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR. And I'm back. And sick. And back. Here. For another Drunken Dangerous. And we're reading more, Moon People, you know? So, if I wasn't sick enough before with my illness, my cold, I don't think it's COVID, I don't have a fever, I can taste stuff, it's a whole thing, but I don't exactly sound my most dangerous self, you know? And I would like to personally blame Mr. David Braemar and his eating reconstituted eggs over easy on the moon. That fact alone killed my immune system. It just, you know, like, I know we joke that something gave us cancer, but that one gave me an autoimmune disease. I don't know how, but it did. And that's why I'm sick again. God damn it, David. Anyway, let's see if it kills me this time. Because we're back for more. And, you know, I'm high, but to spare my lungs, I am mostly high from edibles. So, you know, you're welcome. And I'm drinking some champagne like this is a celebration. Like we can celebrate anything right now, honestly. And also, on the note of being sick, thank you guys so much for all your well wishes. It honestly means like the world to me every time I get a message or like I read a comment from you guys telling me to get well soon. Part of me is like, but no, I'll do what I want. But also, I really appreciate it. So thank you. It really does mean a lot to me, even when I want to just be stubborn and bratty because, you know, people. I really, really do appreciate it. So thank you guys. And I'm trying my hardest, although you wouldn't think so based on what we're reading. Based on what we're reading, it would be very likely to be like, oh, come on. This is masochism. Hold on, I gotta get far enough away from this microphone. I don't want to accidentally rant too loud and kill your eardrums, so. Because I'm fairly sure there will be some more ranting. We are up onto chapter 12. Kendall tells me I'm 49% of the way through, so, you know, it's, fuck, right? Maybe in 75% something will happen. We need to start a breakfast count. How many breakfasts will David go through before the meteor hits the earth or whatever it was we were here for in the first place? I've frankly forgotten because most of this entire book has been about David doing jack shit, talking to himself and talking to his friends about the same shit over and over. So anyway, at least now we're on the moon. So we're at the mission launch, chapter 12. I'm pretty sure this was like in the middle of a conversation or a meeting they were having. So, you know, fuck if we remember who's talking, I don't. Probably wasn't David. David didn't ever say anything of value other than yum eggs be good, Cheryl. Cheryl, sorry. Can't have a normal name. I need another drink of this champagne. Look, is doctor recommended? Who's my doctor? It's America. Who do you think? It's Dr. WebMD. All right. The mission launch, chapter 12. We have our orders. Everyone started familiarizing themselves with their area. David was fascinated by shiny objects with all the latest instruments on his console. He had a view screen that was connected to their observatory computer and a new radio waves emissions meter that was so actuate, not accurate, it was so actuate. Okay, it was so actuate that you could detect if a planet had water or land or oxygen and what gases there was on the planet or moon. Wow. Oh, wow, okay. But could you put that in layman's term, doctor? I'm not sure I understand your big fancy science talk. Ooh, boy. They're really sending their best and brightest. They're the same ones who were in control of Afghanistan. They're now running the moon project. I see how it's going. He also had a long-distance sound emitter. It's a microphone. They could pick up sounds from great distances away. It's like one of those spy listening devices that you get in the back of those comic books. He was not familiar with many other instruments. Of course he wasn't. Now among their crew, my God, this woman's name. If he's not fucking her or she's not taking some kind of sponge bath in front of everyone later, I will be disappointed. Lieutenant Tawny Fisher. Tawny, you say. Lieutenant Tawny. Tawny Funbags Fisher? Like, come on. Who was our pilot, and next to her was Jenna Parsons, who was our co-pilot. She's not a captain or lieutenant or anything, just Jenna. It was Jenna Parsons, who was our co-pilot and navigator. Also, there was the Admiral's right-hand man, Lieutenant Commander Mark Kraft, second-in-command on board. I was hoping for Lieutenant Commander Big Dong McShlong. So we could really just hurry up and get this moon orgy going. Also, our communications officer was Lieutenant Charles Courtney, brother of Heather Courtney. Lieutenant Charles Courtney spoke 7 different languages, but his computer could speak over 100 languages. Well, why didn't the computer get the job? Damn millennial computers, they're taking our jobs. Okay, Boomer, I'm so sorry. See, everyone's worried about climate change, but if anybody thought about the 100 language-speaking computers, it's going to take over your job. You can't speak 100 languages. Anyway, what was the computer's name? Was it like Tawny? It looked like we had a great crew. Now, like, we? Who are you talking about? Is this David's thinking? It looked like we had a great crew, but you don't talk about as if you're David, so you can't change fucking perspective, my friend. That is confusing. Okay, if you're a writer, don't change perspective in the middle of a fucking paragraph. It's terrible writing. That is terrible writing. You can do it between chapters if you're changing characters or something, but for the love of fucking God, keep it consistent. Because I don't know who the hell is saying now. It looked like we had a great crew. Now we were all busy familiarizing ourselves with our stations when the time for our launch was approaching. You can't change for who you are. I'm pretty sure you were already David Braemar. And so that's why sometimes I talk to the author. Because I'm assuming he's David. Because we all know David is his Gary Stu. Because he's just the boring part of David Braemar, Mr. Simple Billy David Braemar, who teaches high school, who dreams of one day being called up to NASA for all the fancy new instruments, and Lieutenants Tawny and Heather Courtney will suck his shaft while he fucking microwaves Star Trek food, you know? Like, we all know what this is, dude, except you're so boring you can't even make your fictional you interesting. You're like Twilight, except even more boring, you know, where you see the character and you're like, why is everyone, like, so, like, insistent that you're amazing and you have no qualities of being that whatsoever? Clearly, you're just inserting yourself in this position. And so, David Braemar, I will tell you once again, you are boring. Get better. Going on the moon won't fix you. You are boring still. No sexily named people as coworkers will save you, David Braemar. You're a boring, bologna-eating, egg-eating, wow, look shiny man. And I hate you for this story. And you can't changing perspective, really? We had a great crew. You had nothing. You live alone in your mother's basement and you eat Cheetos out of the bag. And you wipe your dirty fingers on your pants because you know no one's coming down to look at you. And if your parents came down, who cares? Already ashamed. Talk about the book you sold, but it gets like 0 stars because it's trash. It's trash. I'm more disappointed in you than your parents are, and that's saying something. I'm sorry, I just... David fucking Braemar, man. It made me sick, man. Fucking writing made me sick. I'm too sick for this. I'm not healthy enough for this shit. Fucking goddamn David fucking Braemar. All right. Changing those fucking perspectives all the time. Then all of a sudden, the Admiral spoke to his intercom. Was he speaking to the intercom? Was he speaking through the intercom or to the intercom as if it's his friend? Because I really like the idea of him saying, "Oh, intercom, if only you were a real boy, we could run away together." He spoke to the intercom over the entire ship. "Hello, men and women aboard the USS Lunar Base 1. Excuse me. We don't believe in a binary gender system here in space, sir. It's space rules. All genders go. You know? I'm unigender. We are all one. Remember how all the students spoke in unison? It's unigender out there. We are just, it's like we are Borg, you know? But this isn't Star Trek. This is the great value Star Trek wannabe. So it's like, they're not Borg. They're like, I don't know. What? You're like Berg. We are Berg. Berk. We are Berk. Anyway. It's all trash is what I'm saying. Let me get back to this. Okay. Unigender people. We are about to embark on a historical journey out into our solar system to Mars first, and then to one of Saturn's moon, Titan, and then beyond. Be a little more vague, will you? We have, in my opinion, the best crew in space. Your opinion don't mean shit, pal. So try not to worry. We have orders to launch at 0800, and we are functioning at 92%. The other 8% are things that are unrelated to ship's function. That doesn't make me feel good. Mainly stuff we haven't unpacked yet. This guy doesn't speak like any leader I've ever heard. Mainly stuff? All right. Okay, I believe you've had experience with military leadership, sure. Mainly stuff we haven't unpacked yet. I trust this guy in battle, in space battle, to make the right decisions. Oh, golly gosh, guys, we got some stuff here. Oh, it'll be a neater, fucking tell people specifically. I'm not okay if 8% of shit's not functioning correctly, bitch. Is it your brain? Clearly, more than 8%. It's 0745, and in 15 minutes, we are going to launch. Why did you fucking tell us then that we were launching at 0800? You just said that. Are you drinking already, sir? It's only 0745. My God, we had this conversation. Before that, I will tell you on the inter... You're telling them now, sir. Before what? Before the launch in 15 minutes? Then why not just say it now? You're warning them about what you're going to say in, what, 5 minutes? Fuck yourself. I hope the fucking plane explodes, you shithead. Holy fuck. Before that, I will tell you on the intercom to secure yourself in one of many locations on the ship by telling you... Thanks for the heads up, for the trailer, for the lecture you're giving me in 5 minutes. Don't tell me a few days in advance. No, tell me what you're going to tell me. Like, look, we're not all unable to remember anything like that one old dude who hired David Brammer, okay? Everyone else here presumably doesn't have dementia, all right? You don't need to tell us what you're going to be telling us. But thanks for fucking warning me that this is happening. So I definitely, you know what it's like? It's like fucking being on an airplane, you know, when you're on a layover and you already fucking saw the fasten your seatbelt sign. You have to watch that fucking ad, like, It's because it's an ad in between, like, the seatbelt bullshit. And it's like, I've already done this, and I have to sit along and pretend. Like, you're telling me something I haven't heard a million times. This fucker. Everything he writes. If he actually cut out the superfluous information, the superfluous crap he put in here that services the story not at all, this book would be, like, 4 pages long. And we're still here, and I know I'm stalling, but I'm sick. Take pity on me. Etc. Okay, so. Anyway, he's telling them what he's going to do. He'll tell them by telling you, red or yellow alert, if you do not know your location, please ask a supervisor in any area. You should always secure yourself in your chairs with your harnesses latched. When we say red alert, you should preferably be at your location or post. When we say yellow alert, it means to go immediately to your stations and prepare for a red alert. We will start the countdown at T-minus 10 minutes and counting. Thank you for your cooperation. I wasn't even joking. 5 minutes later, it was 5 minutes. The Admiral went on the intercom again. I'm amazed they gave us exactly five and it wasn't about five. You know. This is Admiral Benson. We are now going to yellow alert. I repeat, yellow alert. Then you could see a yellow light blinking in every room. Why he couldn't just say yellow alert. This means go to your stations. All right. Okay. You know, who am I to tell them how to do things on the moon? I'm just a sick Earth girl. I don't know moon politics. Anyway, there were yellow lights, shockingly. You could also hear the Navy whistle sound off over and over for 5 seconds. I don't know. Then it was just the yellow light blinking in the room. Also, a few minutes later, you could hear the Admiral say, from like around the corner, peeking out, "This is Admiral Benson. We are now going into red alert. I repeat, this is a red alert. Prepare for launch." Then the Admiral said, "We are now going to begin our launch sequence at T-minus 10 minutes and counting, starting now." Mark T-minus 10 minutes and counting. Then the LED display on the wall started the countdown. "Lieutenant Fisher, it is time to warm up our engine." Just one. A singular engine for everyone. It's a warp engine. Shut the fuck up. Don't ask. It's moon science. "Remember, everyone, please get buckled in at your stations. You're not my father." "Yes, sir." Lieutenant Fisher turned on the engine and started to warm it up. Oh, is it the girl? Is it Tawny Fisher? "Oh, yes, sir." Lieutenant Fisher turned on the engine. Oh, she turned it on. Stroked it real hard. She stroked that engine's rod, lubed it up. It fits so good. And started warming up. It was on the T-minus 4 minutes 23 seconds and counting. No D, just the N. Then it got down to T-minus 43 seconds. "Lieutenant Parsons, how's everything looking?" asked the Admiral. "We're looking good, sir. All systems are a go. In addition, the course is laid in, sir." Then it got down to T-minus 15 seconds and counting. Then 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition full thrust. Suddenly, the ship started to vibrate. Just a little. And then we started to move. It wasn't that bad. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Compared to what? It wasn't that bad? That's such a strange way to discuss a shuttle launch. It wasn't that bad. What did you expect it to be like? Everyone started cheering and clapping, yes, and then everyone clapped, and they gave him $100 and said, "Good job, David, you saved space." And then he woke up and he pissed himself again. And no one was going to clean it because his mom refused to go down there anymore. She walked in on him masturbating. And it was just some weird shit. "Lieutenant Fisher, let's start out on impulse and then we'll go to Mach 5, said the Admiral.
"Affirmative, sir."
"How's everything looking, Lieutenant Parsons?" "Let's gradually build up to Mach 5.
"Yes, sir."
"We're looking good, sir. All systems on our go, and we're on course too, sir." Wow, this is fucking riveting. "Well, there's no turning back now," said the Admiral. I mean, don't tell me anything about where they're going. Just have them telling me back and forth they're doing it. Amazing. This is what I really want to hear. "Well, there's no turning back now," said the Admiral. "We are on our way now." Then everyone cheered again. Is there a gas leak? A few hours had passed. PAST. And the Admiral asked Lieutenant Parsons again, "How are we looking now, Lieutenant Parsons?" "All systems are looking good, sir. Lieutenant, You let me know if there are any changes, and let whoever takes your place at shift change know the same thing. I want to know, no. That's all you fucking say is the word no. I'm so sick of it now. I want to know anything out of the ordinary. I'm going to my quarters. Commander Kraft, you've got the helm. She's your bridge now.
Yes, sir.
Those of you who are not connected to the running of the ship can stay or leave at your own will. If not sure, ask permission. The Admiral was gone for about half an hour, however long it takes him to take a dump and jerk off. Then all of a sudden, Lieutenant Courtney, I don't know who, which one, brother, no, said to the commander, "Sir, we're getting an incoming communique from NASA." Then Commander Kraft said, "Oh, really? Patch him through to my comm, Lieutenant." "NASA. Commander Kraft, this is Kim Moon here at NASA. We just wanted to say that was a picture-perfect launch. Congratulation. Just one. Not more than one. One congratulation, one engine. You get another engine, maybe you'll get a congratulations. But not yet. You have to earn up to that." "Thank you, Mr. Moon. We're on top of the world up here, too." "No, you're literally off the world. Stop lying." "That's not all I called about, Commander." "Oh, really? What's up?" "I have a spot on my dick." "No, I'm just kidding." "Well, sir, we have just spotted a large explosion a few light years from our solar system. We can't tell what happened,
but it was bright."
"Oh my god, a bright light, the sky is... I'm sorry, I just want to make fun of you. We couldn't tell what happened, but big bright light go boom in solar system. Me scared. Why none of you talk... Like, I'm sorry, I'm no big old space science expert, but I feel like if I was writing a fucking story about the moon, I know a hell of a lot more about, you know, space travel and the actual fucking moon than these jackasses do. I don't even believe they know how to get to space. I don't think they know how fucking rockets work. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you know what the fuck you're doing. That's like if you put me up in space. I will promptly die. And they won't. And I just need you all to know that's a big sack of bullshit. You expect me to believe these chuckle fucks are going to make it all the way to space and save the world? These people honestly read like they're out of Idiocracy. It's really sad. Okay, let's keep going, I guess. Fuck it. It's not like we're doing much better down here on Earth. Oh yeah, big light go boom. Years away, me scared, me pee. It was bright. It was on the same heading that our meteor was on when it disappeared. I told Captain Bramer I would contact him if there was another flash of light on that same heading. But we don't see how it could be our meteor, because it traveled too far across the galaxy. And too fast to be our meteor, sir. Is this about the meteor that everyone thought would hit Earth, Mr. Moon? Yes, it is, Commander. No, it's the other meteor. The one that wasn't going to hit Earth and no one was talking about, you shithead. Yes, obviously. Good God. Do you have dementia, or is this just you being a fucking asshole? Are you paying any attention? God, it's like the person that's like, "Hey, you want anything?" You're like, "Yeah, can I just get a large plain coffee?" And they're like, "What?" And you're like, "Fuck you, I just said it." Don't ask if you don't want to hear, you bitch. I swear, I am not ranting. This is just personal opinion that everyone needs to fucking absorb. Stop being a selfish cunt. You specifically, if you feel attacked, it's because you're like that. Stop it! No one likes it. They just won't say it to your face, but you're David Bramer. No, that's why people won't return your calls. They don't want to hang out with you. Because you're a jerk. Yeah, you. I mean, maybe not you. But if you feel, you know, if you ever feel attacked, it's like, maybe I'm sensitive to this because I'm afraid it's true. Or I know deep down I am this thing and I'm insecure because I know it's, you know, I could be doing better. I get the same way, you know? When people talk about health and well-being, I'm like, no, I'm... perfectly, you know, I know I'm not, I don't do super healthy things. Just own it, right? Own that maybe you're moon trash like David Bramer. But you can change it. Because unlike David Bramer, presumably, you have the ability to change and grow and reflect on your actions. And your head is full of more than eggs. Oh, let's see. So apparently, what meteor? Yes, it was that meteor, you stupid shit. Is there any debris coming this way? No, sir, there's no debris at all, Commander. That we can see, just like before. But it is on that exact heading the meteor was on. I'm going to patch you through to Captain Braemar. Lieutenant Courtney, give Captain Braemar this call.
Yes, sir.
Hello, this is Captain Braemar. Hello, Captain. This is Kim Moon at NASA. How do you like your new job? This is not the time. I love it, Mr. Moon. And I think you would love it, too. I'm just getting situated. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but we had another flash of light on that same heading as our meteor. Oh, really? Where at? About 2 light years from our solar system, said Kim. You're kidding. No, sir, I'm not. Yeah, it was just a social experiment. Was there any debris? No, none, just like before. There's not a trace of anything that we can see, except a lot of radiation. Well, there's no way that could be our boy, could it, Mr. Moon? It was 135 million light years away from us. That was too far away. Mind you, all his twos, meaning T-O-O, never have the extra O. I just think you should all know that. That really should be stated. This person, their ignorance knows no bounds. There's a level of frustration, like, I know I keep repeating it, but I just have to. It's to keep the little bit of sanity I have left, you guys. The very tiny bit, the teeniest, tiniest bit that's just hanging on by, like, the smallest gossamer moon thread. And I just have to let you know what I'm wading through, you know? It's terrible. Okay. That was 210, far away. Yeah, that's what I thought too, Captain. I just wanted to tell you so you could watch it too. I knew you wanted to know if we seen any more flashes of light. We're doomed, you guys. And I wanted to see how you liked it up there. Wow. So deep. I tell you, Kim, it's unbelievable up here. Big shiny all the time. It's like being in a sci-fi movie. Ah, you... Is he not? He's 12, right? He's gotta be. There's no way this is a grown-ass man who's, like, retired. No way. And he teaches astronomy. You sure it's not astrology? You sure? It's a big science with a capital S. You sure? I just have my doubts, man. Maybe in this world, idiocracy world, where he's like, yeah, big, it's like being in a sci-fi movie. Where are the sexy aliens or the robots that are people in, like, cardboard boxes? You know, like those old 1950s sci-fi stuff? Pretty sweet. The view is incredible. Man, I wish I were up there with you. You could still change your mind and join us, Mr. Moon. Stop calling him Mr. Moon. Nobody uses people's names that often. No, my place is down here with my feet firmly on the ground with my father. Suit yourself, but I've made up my mind. I love it, said David. You take good care of yourself, sir, and I'll catch you later. Thanks again, Mr. Moon. Goodbye, Mr. Moon. Fuck you. He said that just to fuck with me. Twice in a row. Fuck you. Stop it. Stop it. Who talks like that? People don't talk like that. You quit that right now. Stop using my name so much, Mr. Moon. What do you want from me? I feel like you're going to ask me for a loan. To, like, be part of your downline and your fucking trim spa or whatever. Pyramid scheme. Stop using my name. I feel like this is a trap. Next, you're going to say you need money or something. David was happy because he was getting ready to use his new telescope equipment. Tell me he's not a child again. Tell me he's not a child. Did he also match the shapes in the shape sorting block? Good job, David. You figured out the triangle block was in the triangle. Well done, buddy. Maybe you'll save us after all. As he got his station active, he started doing some tests on the location that Kim gave him, where they seen the flash of light. He was either looking for debris, or watching for another flash of light, or anything that was abnormal. I feel like I can do this job. I mean, no offense. I'm no genius. I'm no moon rocket scientist. But I can look for weird things through a lens. I mean, David, tell me the logistics of your job, buddy, because I feel like you can write it out and cram in one sentence what you're doing. That's probably the best way you can describe this. David looking for weird things in, you know, space, and you're like, oh, shoot, I can do that. He was also checking for any type of gases with his new radio waves emission meter. This observatory telescope had the capability of zooming in and isolating a certain area in a 1 mile radius, millions of light years away. David noticed there was some reminiscence. It was reminiscent of gas, but he said there were some reminiscences of gases. I need another drink. This butchering of the English language hurts. It hurts, man. You don't know the things I seen, you guys. Too much. He started to try to isolate and identify each gas to attempt to discover what type of explosion it was. Hey, there's high levels of radiation here. That must have been a massive explosion. Yeah, I had Taco Bell. But what the hell did it? That's so strange. There is no debris. What exploded? This is illogical! Commander Kraft, I was just checking up on the flash of light close to our solar system that Mr. Moon reported to us, sir. I did find something interesting. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't in this book. What's that, Captain? Well, sir, everything that Kim Moon... Stop using his name! Ugh, I get that his last name is Moon. Stop jerking it off so fucking hard. Well, sir, everything that the person that shan't be named said about not being any debris was correct, but I did find high levels of radiation, like he said. So everything he said was correct, so stop acting but. He was correct, but also he was correct. No, you mean and he was correct, not but. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get angry. He didn't ask me for my corrections, but good God, this is why you need to edit, especially if you're like this guy. Please, please, please edit your work. Don't let your ego get in the way, please. You're not as good as you think. That's the biggest thing an artist needs to realize. You're not as good as you think. Let other people have input. Be willing to be wrong. Don't use Kim Moon all the time. Stop it. Which could have come from a massive nuclear explosion. There would probably be a flash of light that you could see for several light years away. Kim said it was a real bright flash. But the radiation might already have been there prior, with an E, not an O, to the flash. Maybe reminisce of an exploding star. Just make up words. Who? Fuck it. It sounds like it could be. Throw it in there. Word loaf. You can see it's just like pounding me down. Like, I'm sick, and so my rage is here. It's just more muted through the illness. But I am no less frustrated. I'm just beaten down, and it's more like a simmering boil at this point. It's not overflowing as much, because, you know, the sickness means the water level's a little lower. But what's there is at full boil, I assure you. Let's see. When we first seen the meteor on Earth and was tracking it. That's the whole sentence. When we first seen the meteor on Earth and was tracking it. I hate you. That's not a sentence. I hate you. I hate you. That's not a sentence. Like, don't get me wrong. I do not critique these stories thinking I am some great, amazing writer. But for the love of all that is holy, 95% of people whose writing I have read are better than this. This is just absurdly awful. In like every way, in the point that it's not even a troll, because a troll would be more interesting. This is like a troll would know, no one would keep reading this shit willingly, because it's so, it's not like funny about it. It's only funny to make fun of it. It's so awful. It's like trudging through sewage. I can get through it. But trust me, this isn't a fun time, you know? Kim Moon. Motherfucker. Okay, we're gonna do this together. We can do this. I'll get through this, and hopefully, you know, what won't kill me will make me stronger instead of just reducing my sanity even further, you know? Mm. There was some talk, meter, of course, because it changed directions twice, and we tried to look at all analytical possibilities. One of them was that it could be a spacecraft. So as we were tracking it on a certain heading, then we seen a large flash of light, and it vanished. We already went over this. Well, farther down on that same heading, about one light year away, we seen another flash of light, and then we did see a meteor that was close to the same size as the one we were following. What gets me is these aren't like farmers discussing this to the locals, where you're like, they're supposed to be ignorant. These are supposed to be the top scientists on the moon discussing this among each other. That's what kills me. They are who kills us, really. Because I would hope the people on the moon had a better grasp of the English language. I don't want to suggest that your grasp of the English language is necessarily a strong determinant of your IQ, because I have known people that are really, really intelligent and just not very good at English, you know. But oh dear God, don't write a book if that's your... I don't want to say don't follow your dreams, but edit, honey, edit. Please. Please know how to use English before you decide to write a book. Please, please, don't make me spend money on this. And I did. I'm a fool. A fool! Oh, okay, I'll get back to this. I haven't even got through one chapter yet. Fuck. It's making me sicker than before. I'm dying. Oh, God, okay. Well, let's see. Farther down on that same heading, about one light year away, we seen another flash of light. And then we did see a meteor that was close, the same size as the one we were following. Then it just disappeared. There were not any more flashes of light until just now, sir. The second flash of light was 3 minutes after the meteor disappeared, which would have put the speed at approximately over 300,000 miles an hour. Now, if you calculate time and speed from the second flash of light to the third flash of light, David's already using his calculator on his computer console and said, the spacecraft would have to be going 4 times the speed of light, sir, or faster. Although the third flash of light was on the same heading as our meteor. I don't see how it could be connected to the second flash of light because they're too far from each other. And it was just yesterday when we seen the other flashes of light. I hate how you talk to each other. I hate it. I hate it. I fucking hate how you talk to each other. This is the most obnoxious roundabout bullshit. None of you can communicate like people. I swear. It's like none of you decided, you know, why don't we just break this down into plain English and discuss this thing instead of just let's go in fucking circles being like, it couldn't be the meteor because it was far away. You're right, it was far away. It was far away and couldn't be the meteor. Yeah, I don't think it could be the meteor because of how far away it was. Fucking hell, we know. Move on. Like, don't make me read a whole half a chapter about this. Make more than this. It needs to be more than just it far away. Me no understand. Oh my God. But it is technically an analytical possibility, but only if that spacecraft has that kind of light speed cape. Well, no shit. Yes, obviously it's only possible if they have that capability. No fucking shit. You're right. It's only possible to run 100 miles an hour if your legs are capable of running 100 miles an hour. Good job, Einstein. You boiled it down for me. Yes, you have to be capable of doing the thing you're doing if you're able to do it. The end? Like, I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm mad. I'm just frustrated. Like, I'm so burnt out at the thought of this person continuing this story. I don't see how it could get better. I mean, there's apparently a ship with the capability of going 4 times the speed of light, but only if... it can go 4 times the speed of light. Was that what they were saying? But they don't know. And they're just talking about it for 50 minutes while they suck each other's dicks. Capability of going 4 times the speed of light or more. It would have to have cloaking capability. Because in that particular area, there is nothing anywhere in that region. The end of chapter 12. What a great fucking ending. Okay, Normally, I would go longer, but I am sick, so I'm going to leave this one a little short. We'll have just done chapter 12. Chapter 13 is long as fuck, which is why I don't really want to continue into it, because I know it is going to take probably the entirety of the next Drunk and Dangerous. It's called Hide and Seek. It continues in the middle of the conversation with Happening, with I'll program my computer to sound an alert if it sees anything out of the ordinary. It's the middle of a conversation. So, really, I mean, I kind of feel like ending in between chapters is funny because it's already an arbitrary point where the author chose to end these chapters. It doesn't ever end on a cliffhanger. It ends in the middle of conversations 9 times out of 10. So technically I'm leaving off in the next chapter, but we're leaving off in the middle of a conversation just like we started chapter 12. Hopefully next time I'm on here, I'm less sick. I can't imagine that the quality of the story. I mean, granted, in chapter 12, we didn't hear about David's breakfast, which is good. You know, I'm expecting in chapter 13, if it goes to a new day, I expect we'll hear about something he eats. But now this is probably one of the first Drunk and Dangerouses I've done where we haven't heard about David's breakfast. A round of applause, you know. More exciting than they're telling us about their T-minus count, and in 5 minutes I'm going to tell you this thing. Okay, now I'm telling you this thing. Like, great. Anyway, hopefully I get healthier despite the reading of these terrible stories. I hope that you enjoyed suffering along with me. Thank you guys so much for bearing with me, especially through all these illnesses that I'm apparently giving myself by reading the worst stories that ever exist. But I'm not going to stop, and please don't stop listening, and I will see you here hopefully next week. All right. I love you guys. I'll talk to you then. Mwah! Bye.